With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi guys, welcome back to Soul Sisters. I'm your host, Jessie Katz.
I'm Dara Golub,
our other host. And guys, we have some bittersweet news to share with you. I am actually moving on from Billboard at the end of the month. And so for now, this will be the final Soul Sisters that we are releasing into the world. And we are ending it in such a fitting way. And so to give you the full picture of why that is, let's go back to the beginning of how Dara and I met, which you may have heard bits and pieces of the story before, but it all happened when we noticed each other on Twitter and Dara sent me a DM.
Well, let's go back a little bit further. I was a fan of yours from your old podcasts.
Right.
So okay. I had tweeted at you in like probably 2014 or 15
yeah.
that I was a fan.
Right.
You never replied.
And I feel like I refuted that at some point and that I had responded, but it didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Just tweets in the night, not really landing. And then I think I was scrubbing through my Twitter feed when I moved back to New York, and I had noticed that Dara had tweeted at me, and so I followed her.
Yeah.
And then you sent me a DM.
Right. Because your bio had said that you were a Billboard content creator.
Right.
So.
And that I was also a filmmaker.
Filmmaker, producer, yeah.
Outside of my Billboard job. So this is your DM, which I'm going to read to you all now, okay? This is on November 30th, 2015. So this is about 3 months before Soul Sisters launched officially.
Wow.
It says, "Hey, Jessie. Feels fortuitous. You followed me moments before I emailed Billboard Lounge at Barclays about filming there on Saturday when I play with my band Parlor Tricks. Curious if you found me through that upcoming show or what, and if you might want to chat more, one young female New York Jewish filmmaker to another. I'd like to share my project if you're open." And then you wrote your email address and you said, "Thanks for the follow." And then you sent me another DM a minute later. You said, "Also, so intrigued by your positive thoughts on Doll and M and Mistress America. Must read links." Because I guess I've been tweeting about these things that I was super into at the time. Yeah. So, Mistress America, of course, is the
perfect
Noah Baumbach
segue.
Film. Noah Baumbach and Greta Gerwig, right? I think, wrote it together.
Mm-hmm, I think so.
Starring Greta and Lola Kirk. Who
yes.
is our guest on this, for now, last episode of Soul Sisters. And when Dara and I first met, one of the things that we bonded over was how much we loved that movie and also Mozart in the Jungle.
Yep.
And Lola was an example of the ideal guest that we would book on this podcast we were conceiving of together, where we would talk to not just musicians, but also actors who were in music-related projects. We didn't even know at the time that Lola was a musician.
Right.
She was just this awesome actor that did
music-related
stuff. Yeah,
right.
That pretended to be a musician. And we thought that was enough crossover that we could use this podcast as an excuse to talk to her. And lo and behold, a couple years later, she has started to put out music, and she has an album coming out this year. And it was actually before I knew that I was going to be leaving, but I thought, like, what the hell, let's try again. Reached out to see if she would come on the show, and she said yeah.
Oh, awesome.
And so she came on. We had this amazing conversation with her, And it's ended up being our last one. Wow. So
last one for now, we'll say.
For now.
We will not say goodbye.
No,
we'll
the show's going on hiatus. Yeah. It could definitely resume in another form. Hopefully still with us at the helm, because it's been a highlight of...
real highlight of my life.
Our lives, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of a fitting... I'm glad that you just told our little love story that we have told in bits and pieces, but the way that we met and sort of made it happen is sort of emblematic of what I think we talk a lot about on the podcast, which is, like, how do you move forward in your career? I think, like, being bold, taking chances, using the internet in ways that are incredibly positive, and taking full advantage of this connectivity that we have... And I just love that, like, none of that would have happened if we didn't follow up on things and we didn't say, I don't know about this, but let me just walk forward and try something out. We had a date. It didn't end for hours. It was an epic, epic moment. And it just clicked from there. But we had to have faith that, like, hey, let me try this.
Totally.
And I think that's a good, like, lesson to leave us on also, because... all of this is a hustle. It's a struggle. It's really hard. It's really challenging, but it can be so rewarding. And the more that you put yourself out there, the more you're going to get. And
which is what we hear from our guests all the time.
All the time.
It's just put your intentions and your hard work out into the universe. It will come back to you. I swear this has happened to me so many times since I moved back to New York. This podcast and you are the epitome of it. Mm-hmm. And it's just the beginning.
It's the beginning.
Just the beginning.
Right, to new adventures.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so to any artists who are listening out there, you know, reach out to us. We both are still in the world.
100%. Still doing
still working on all the other hustles, and hope to keep talking to all of you and to our listeners who have followed us throughout the past couple of years. Thank you, and we'll see you for the next incarnation.
Yeah.
Okay, well then, we'll say it one last time for now. Without further ado,
woo!
Here's Lola Kirk on Soul Sisters. Lola Kirk, welcome to Soul Sisters.
Thank you so much. So happy to be here.
You were just telling us that you're about to go on vocal rest, so we got you just in time.
Yes.
So vocal rest, I assume, has exceptions to it. What are the exceptions?
I mean, there's no exceptions. This vocal rest is going to involve me not doing any of my favorite things. Talking is probably one of my favorite things to do.
Okay.
Singing also. Uh-huh. But eating chocolate, drinking, dairy. I love doing dairy. citrus. It's lame. It
wow,
sucks.
That's intense.
But
is that because
be
you're going,
it.
You have like a run of shows coming up?
No, it's actually because I did a movie with my sister, and in the movie... I had to scream at her, and I think I took 27 years of rage out in that one scene, and I burst a blood vessel on my vocal cord. And
holy shit.
I know, it's terrible.
So, this is with Jemima?
Yeah, this is with Jemima. no,
I can't imagine you screaming at Domino.
I mean, it's definitely happened before.
Okay.
By the way,
she's been on this show, so we're going to get into what she said about you later.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's right. She went on the record about you.
I'm terrified.
Anyway, let's get back
now.
To you screaming at Jemima.
Okay, so I screamed at Jemima and hurt myself, uh-huh. which goes to show anger only ever hurts you.
Did you feel it in the moment?
I felt it the next day. It was the worst sore throat I've ever had. But it has helped me achieve this, you know, smoker's voice. I sound like I've been smoking since I was like 10.
Uh-huh.
It's not true.
But when did you start smoking?
When I was 15. What?
Go.
No. That's not true.
Kidding, kids.
Yeah, never. Yeah. Don't do that.
Well, we're super stoked to have you on the show because we were just telling your publicist when we launched this podcast a couple years ago, I think a new season of Mozart had just come out. And so Dara and I had also just met pretty recently. So Mozart was one of the first things that we bonded over, Mozart in the Jungle. And when we were conceiving of the podcast, we're like, okay, who can we have on the show? We're like, okay, musicians that we love. And also, like, it'd be cool to have Lola Kirk on the show, so maybe it can also be actors that are in music-related projects. Yeah, because we didn't even know at the time that you were a musician and that you did have music coming out. So now you're here and you can talk about all the things.
I'm so happy that I could make that happen
for
you guys.
Truly.
This is going to be one of those podcasts where you just get mad at me the whole time.
Because you're going to gush.
Yeah, well, I'm going to gush, and I'm also, like, just there's so many things. It's like I can't contain all of the things I want to talk about.
Okay, so. Well, let me start us with something that's a little focused to the music thing before we expand, which is just to say that I saw you perform in Brooklyn last fall, I think it was, for the Ad Hoc series in a church.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And first of all, there's no better venue, I realized, to perform in than a church. Like a
so
small
cool.
church is like the best acoustics ever.
It's
I don't know
like
if that
the
was
best
your
acoustics
experience.
If I think you're playing with not like a full band.
Okay, sure.
Which you were.
Which I was, yeah. But I mean, I had a lot of fun at that show.
Wait, what do you think the problem was with that?
You know, I didn't think there was a problem with it, but then someone later was like, the acoustics were terrible. And
oh,
I was
really?
Like, oh, damn. But you know.
This is my uneducated opinion. To me, I was just like,
great,
sound
though.
Coming from everywhere. This is amazing.
Well, it's probably just a completely different animal of a performance.
Right,
sound.
Totally.
Like, and I feel like that's the trick of being a musician who doesn't tour with like your own sound engineer and like is going to be playing clubs all the time. It's figuring out how to sound great no matter the venue, and I'm working on that.
Yeah,
just like I'm working on my angles in the mirror.
There you go. It was also amazing because I think Jemima was there with, was that one of her sons who was with her?
It was her, both of her kids.
Okay, but yeah, and she had to leave like halfway through the set because she was with kids, and that's what happens.
But they filmed the whole thing. Okay, my niece did a brilliant job of filming the
awesome.
Performance, which was great because no one else took a single picture.
Oh, there you go. So it was a nice little family affair. But something that I noticed in that show that I wanted to ask you about was that you had an all-female band with you, which kind of astounded me because I was thinking whether or not I had seen that before. Like, I've seen all female bands. Like, there's this band called Guns N' Roses, which is a Guns N' Roses.
Oh my God, I love that.
And it's all women.
That.
So,
yeah.
So, like, I've seen that before when it's been kind of part of what the band is supposed to be. Yeah. But just like a singer who has an all female backing band, I don't think I'd ever seen that before. So, I just want
to
ask you.
So crazy
like,
to have to
it's
say this question.
Yeah.
But I have to. Right. So, how intentional was that? Are these people that you are going to continue to perform with? Are they on your upcoming album? Just tell us about that.
Yeah, so I kind of wanted to normalize the all-female rock band because you don't really see that at all. I think we've just accepted that rock outfits are like five white dudes, and I love a lot of those men.
Right.
But I wanted to change that. And, you know, growing up, my dad is a musician, and I had always just kind of accepted that men played music, women loved music, and that
Love
was
the
how.
Men who played music.
And yeah, exactly. And so I never really felt empowered to pick up an instrument. And then when I finally did, I started playing. I like discovered all these women who also played music, and I've always just shared my music mostly with other women and have a really strong community of female friends that all play. And I wanted, it's always just been like my dream to have some dreamy all-girl band. And when I started playing out more, I just wanted to do that.
So it wasn't hard to find the women. They were already in your circle of friends.
You know, it's harder to find a woman drummer, but there are some really great women drummers. But it's very easy to find pretty much every other instrument.
And it was easy for you to pick it up. So you picked up guitar later in life.
I picked up a ukulele first, full disclosure.
Great. That's a great gateway.
Well, I'll now bring in a Domino quote. Lola, in her own right, learned how to play every instrument over the course of a year.
Oh my God.
What?
That is
That's
the sweetest misunderstanding of who I am. That is so nice.
Because we were asking her, like, who came first? Like, she's substantially older than you, so it seemed like she had a career going, and then you started playing music. So we're like, you know, was this her trying to emulate Big Sister?
I mean, I would, you know, when I say that men, I accepted that men were musicians. Uh-huh. Domino was always a singer, and that was like her like God-given gift, and we all admired her so much for that. And I went to every single one of her concerts when I was younger, and like would stand front row center singing every word. I still get her songs stuck in my head from that period.
That's
and
awesome.
I love the music that she's making now.
Yeah, it's great.
But I did not learn how to play every instrument in the space of a year.
What do you play now after ukulele?
I started playing guitar after the ukulele. And then my boyfriend, Wyndham, who produced my record and my EP, when I tour with him, I play the bass, and I'm really good at the bass only insofar as I can play every note that he tells me how to play. Like, I couldn't be like, oh yeah, that's a B. Yeah, and then just go to a G. Like, it's like the fourth fret, second string, and then down to the fifth fret. Like, yeah. That's my understanding of the bass. Okay. But apparently I'm pretty groovy on it, so.
Cool. Oh yeah, is that the feedback?
Yeah, people have been like, you're a great bass player, and I'm like, I've tricked them.
It's like people think you're an amazing oboist.
Oh my God, I know. That is so cool.
Well, yeah, and I'm curious, the connection of like you being able to just say, you don't know the notes, you don't know what you're doing, but you can do it. And I'm curious, when you were being taught how to play the oboe and now conduct, and we'll get into that a little bit more, but were you taught what you're actually doing, or did they say, do this right now and that'll look right? Or did they try to explain it to you?
I mean, like, there was some attempt at explaining like the method and technique of playing the oboe, but more or less it was like, just do this. And that's like, I think honestly why I became an actor was I love being told what to do. Precisely. I went to the ballet the other night, and I was watching these dancers, and they could do anything with their body. And I was like, oh wow, that is exactly the job description of a dancer. It's not to like look pretty particularly, or you know, just be like dancing. Like, you have to be able to do anything that the choreography requires. And I think as an actor, it's a similar thing, not necessarily with your body, but like if someone tells you like you have to play an oboe, then you have to play an oboe,
right?
And figure out how to make that believable in some way. And yeah, I don't know, but I do love being told what to do. And I think that that's something that I want to get away from more in all of my creative endeavors.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, songwriting as a whole is the opposite almost. You're telling yourself what to do and you have to come up with it. And I mean, what is your songwriting process?
Oh, it involves like me getting drunk and being alone.
Yeah.
No. But typically songwriting comes out of solitude for me. I can't say it comes out of like intense periods of free time, because I don't have that much.
Yeah.
And I typically find myself writing after like a 15-hour day of work, because I think
you're just on.
Yeah, I'm just on, and I've been talking to lots of other people, and then that's like, it's been my way of transitioning into you know, private space, getting away from this like public persona that I have to put out, and then and being able to express what I probably couldn't all day in some other way. Yeah. But I don't know. I think that's it happens pretty organically whenever it does. And there are like periods of time when I will have no ideas and nothing to say or saying.
Yeah.
And then there are times when I can't stop. And but when I feel like I should be writing, there are like a few methods that my friend Greta Morgan, who plays in, whose band is Springtime Carnivore, has relayed to me, and those have been really helpful.
Why? What makes you feel in a given time that you should be writing?
Like, it's been a while, and you know, yeah. I think it's the same voice that tells me that I should do anything, which is a very loud one for
me. Which is fascinating. We talk a lot on this podcast about managing your time and being creative within doing different things that you have to do and things that you want to do,
because
and achieve.
We struggle with this constantly,
right? Yeah. So it's funny to hear you say, as someone who works constantly, that you feel pressure to do something that you're not doing. Like, if I were,
but it's different kinds of work.
Sure, yeah, but it's still like, it's, you're not fulfilled, you're not, you don't feel like, oh, I've done my job for the day.
I never feel that way.
Right.
I think if
that's
you want to create,
gonna be great.
Yeah.
That's
great.
The key to success.
I mean,
always feeling,
I think
like
it's
you're
also like
up.
The key to low self-esteem, but I think that
also
that,
important for success, I think.
I think so too. If you want to have a really productive kid, just give them really low self-esteem.
Exactly. Make sure they have to scream for attention.
Exactly.
And they will go far in life. Okay. Does living in the imaginary world of Mozart in the Jungle feed you as an artist?
I think I really envy the character that I play on TV, because she got to move to, or on streaming. I don't know. It's not TV. It's Amazon. I think I envy her, because she got to like move to New York and be a young person who is experiencing a city anew. And that was never my experience. Like, I was like a 40-year-old by the time I was 17, living in New York and figuring out how to leave New York, even though now I have this like renaissance of love for this city. But yeah, I think that I was just always like jealous of kids that got to come here and like set up shop and be like freaks, because I didn't really get that. So it's nice to play her on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But do you, like, living in the classical world, does that, like, inspire you in any way for your own music? Are you learning things through the stories?
Well, I've been, it's funny, I've been editing a music video that I directed for one of my songs, and I was sitting with the editor, and I found myself, like, being like, and here! And doing all these, like, conducting moves.
Yeah. Big arm movements.
So, yeah, it was so lame. But it was actually helpful. He was really twitchy and scared of me, thinking I was about to hit him every time. Yeah. But it's definitely informed my confidence, I think, also with, like, telling my band what I want.
Okay, yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, and like, my experience as a musician was always that, like, I'm a better actor than I am a musician. Like, I'm just doing this, like, for fun, sort of, but actually, no, it's totally serious, but just bear with me and help me. And, like, because I play with musicians who are incredible. They're career musicians, but they're also, like, that's what they live and breathe. And sometimes it can be embarrassing to be like, I don't know exactly, like, I don't know how to be like, come in on the one. And then, like, yeah.
I'm learning. That's so intimidating.
It is really intimidating. Yeah. But the arc of the character on the show this past season especially has been her, like, becoming a conductor and gaining confidence, telling people what to do, and that was helpful.
Yeah. Dara, I know you have a lot to say about that storyline.
I was really moved by this season.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and I'm firstly curious, like, how in general Mozart sets up the ideas that it's going to present, because it's such a quirky and fantastical show with, like, very real grounded elements in the classical music world and of being a young artist, but also totally out there.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, just, like, in general, how the showrunners and the producers normally set up, like, this is what we're doing, and specifically about this season, because it really was about, you know, giving voice and platform to a female conductor, which, a quote from the show, which I believe to be true, only 4 out of the top 150 orchestras in the world are led by women. Yeah. And so this show now has that front and center in the season, and it's like, it was really, really striking to see. And
yeah.
I mean, it was amazing.
I mean, I don't know what their process is and how, you know, because the world of classical music is vast and wide, and how do you, you know, in 10, 30-minute episodes, create something that expresses that. But I think that the showrunners and writers are conscious about what's happening right now in the real world. And I think that bringing a woman conductor, or bringing a woman into a position of power that's typically held by a man, is really important to see.
Right. I imagine it wasn't necessarily, like, presented to you as the arc of your character when you took this role. It wasn't like, oh, she's going to become a conductor. They
well,
probably...
no, not at all, because the book...
Oh, right.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
The book, I think that it was interesting to see my character have this trajectory where she rises to even more power and, like, becomes a conductor, because in the book, the trajectory of that character is, like, very decadent and destructive, but, like, and I think that's necessary to see in a lot of ways, because I had never expected that of people in the classical music world. I just thought they were like perfect and didn't do normal human things.
Yeah.
but it was nice to realize that that was not the case.
Yeah, yeah. So you have, you know, that season's out, so that's done. You have a bunch of movies that are coming out right now, and you also have an album that's coming out while all of that is happening. So you're truly living the multi-hyphenate life of juggling a lot of different projects.
Yeah, it's a lot more work than I thought it would be.
Yeah?
Yeah, it actually is.
You're like,
is.
Can't I just put out music and then it's out and people can listen to it?
Yeah, that's not true. I mean, because I've always played music, so I didn't think that, like, doing, like, making it public instead of just having it be personal would necessitate that much more work.
Right.
But it actually does.
Okay. Yeah.
So maybe I shouldn't do this.
You'll see which one you get burnt out on quicker.
Exactly.
Yeah. Do you have people, do you have like, you know, someone in the band who you know will take care of this or take care of that so it's not all on you?
That's like, I think the strange part about being a solo musician is that like, it's my band.
Right.
Like, I mean, and that does, like, that means that everyone else in the band makes money except for me when we play a concert because I have to pay everybody.
Because you're paying for it,
yeah. And, like, that's awesome because I have, like, the privilege of releasing my music into the world. But,
Is it a steady band? Is it, like, the same?
Well, no, it also changes. I mean, I have a rock and roll outfit that I've been playing with in New York City that include some of my favorite New York musicians, Cassandra Jenkins, who's a wonderful singer-songwriter, Hannah Reid, who is also a wonderful singer-songwriter, Lila Larson, also a wonderful singer-songwriter, and then a rotating casting crew of drummers. and then in LA, the band that I play with is now in their own band, so... As much as I
like, they started a band with each other.
Sort of, yeah. But I mean, they were always sort of in a band, but then they like really started their own band.
Okay,
and their band is incredible.
Yeah,
they're called Amo Amo, and so I love playing with them because they're already like such a tight group of musicians.
Yeah.
But they're gonna like fly away and do their own thing. So I gotta find a new LA band, I guess.
Are you LA based?
I'm pretty evenly back and forth between New York and LA.
Got it. So you have to spend equal time with these bands, developing them, and
yeah. I mean, I play more in LA than I do here. Yeah.
Okay. Why is that?
I don't know.
More venues for you?
I guess. I think all of my friends moved to LA for the most part, except for those like three people I mentioned.
Okay.
And all of my friends are musicians, so I don't know. I feel like there's a pretty vibrant music scene happening in Los Angeles right now. And I'm sure there's one happening here, too. I'm just, like, not involved at all. I mostly hang out in my apartment.
More. Yeah.
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 About L.A. or Nashville. Yeah.
Ooh, Nashville.
Nashville.
Love
your next
Nashville.
Stop. Yeah.
I'd love to go. I mean, I've been, and I liked it.
Yeah. When did
edgy
you...
Christians.
Right. Exactly. You never know what you're going to get from them.
True.
Yeah. When did you start writing the new album?
I started the oldest song on the record. I started writing like 3 years ago.
Okay, but this is nothing from the EP.
Nothing
it's
from
all
the
new.
EP.
Okay,
and it was like a really weird song with chords that I think I made up.
Nice.
Thanks. and that song survived, but then everything else is pretty much written in 2016. And 2017.
Okay. Like while you were shooting other stuff, doing other stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, there's no, the song's cohesiveness is not that they're all about one thing.
Uh-huh.
They're really not. There's such a range. I mean, they're about like family and longing and wanting to have sex and not having sex and being drunk and politics. So it's like everything that I like talking about.
Uh-huh.
But... The cohesion is that it's like everything that it's just things I like talking about.
Yeah.
And that we recorded all of the songs live to tape, which was really so fun. I mean, the sonic reference for the record that really stood out was Neil Young's Hawks and Doves.
Mm.
And I think that we were able to achieve something close, but also different.
Yeah. So is Monster, the single that's out now, pretty emblematic of the rest of the album?
Yeah, it is pretty emblematic of the rest of the album, but then also like not at all.
Right.
I mean, sonically more like represents a cohesiveness of that.
Yeah, there's a lot of like harmonies. Uh-huh. There will be, which I love. I'm such a sucker for harmonies. And I'm so lucky that all of my friends sing beautifully.
Yeah.
Because all of my friends sing on that record, that's for awesome. The most part. the ones that didn't sing on that record
aren't really your good friends.
No, terrible friends. No, but they've done something else for the record, like done illustrations or done some sort of graphic design or taken a picture or whatever. It feels really nice to have such a strong community of people who make things I like. Yeah. That's how you become my friend. If I like what you make, then we can be friends. But yeah, I forget now what I was saying.
Well, I'll bring up another Domino quote, my last Domino quote. But because we were talking about the difference between your two styles of music, and she said about you, her music's a lot more country and sweet. Mine's just a little sadder, which I think is true on the surface, maybe. But like if you listen to Monster, sure, it sounds kind of country. You sing it sweetly, but the lyrics are kind of sad. Like the sadness is there.
It's kind of sad. Yeah. I mean, I saw someone wearing a T-shirt on Instagram today, and it said like, sad songs make me happy. And I was like, yeah, that's so true. Yeah,
totally.
And they certainly make me happy to write them because it's a way of putting what's inside outside and making some sense of it or making something beautiful out of it.
Yeah.
But a lot of the things I write about, I guess, are sad.
Right.
Well, it's a catharsis.
It's hard to write songs about being happy.
Yeah. And honestly, it's not as interesting. I don't know. Unless you're like in a really happy mood, that song is great. But usually most of us live in an in-between state of flux.
Well, I think also art comes from a space of longing, and longing isn't typically happy.
Totally.
And also like something that I've loved so much about it, like consuming art and experiencing it throughout my life is that it's made me feel love in a twofold way, which is that I love the person who's sharing that with me and the thing that they're creating, but I also feel loved by them because I feel very seen and heard, and that's exactly. That's like the greatest thing that you could do to someone is the gift of attention in some way. So
right.
I mean, I think that though my music is you know melancholic in certain ways, that it comes from a positive place, which is a place of love.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because if you're sad and you listen to something that sounds like it's written by someone who can relate to how you're feeling, it makes you feel less alone and therefore it makes you happier.
Exactly. Yeah. So simple, but so true.
Basically the message of Monster.
Yes.
A little bit. Yeah.
Exactly.
And I love, and then you get to be totally wildly creative when you have a song that can be about something that's super relatable. We all understand it's about, you know, wanting to feel connected and belong. But then your music video is so out there.
Right.
It's like very, you know, simple, but then it becomes, there's like this under layer that's like, so you're like, so.
I love that music
video. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yes. My friend Liz Koh, who directed it as a writer on Mozart in the Jungle, and she basically was like, we're going to Japan. We should make a music video when we're there. And I was like, when?
Yeah.
Like, we're going to be shooting all the time.
Yeah.
And we shot it from like 1 a.m. to 5 a.m.
Oh my God.
On the nights that we were not shooting.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy we did.
It's so dope. And I have funny stories. I watched it and I watched it again with my fiance. And I was like, I must have been like watching, but not like focusing. And I was just like, what is happening? Like, and he like was kind of in and out. And he's like, oh, yeah, this is what it. This is the whole thing.
He
like
knew he explained I was a squid?
It. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
From the beginning?
From like he like saw snippets and he was like, oh, yeah, she's turning into. I was like, fuck. So like this,
he's a visual artist who
it's
makes
very
videos,
plain,
so his but eye is trained to.
Yeah, but it's like it's one of those. The song is not about that, and yet it works so beautifully.
Yeah.
And it adds this layer. It's just like there's a really fun thing about music videos that you get to do, which is like be completely out there with something that's very grounded.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah. I mean, that's
like,
been...
How did that concept evolve?
Well, I think there was this like monster in Japan, and then it was like Godzilla, and I was like, no, we can't do that.
too on the nose.
Way too on the nose, but that there's this other, then it was like, I don't really know.
I see a bottle of fish juice in a vending machine, and that's weird.
I know.
Me,
I mean,
what
mostly
do we do with that?
This is Liz Koh, the director. This was all of her idea. This was all her idea. But I think that it just came out of like, I think like when you're making a music video, unless you have like a giant budget, it's like, how can we make the coolest thing for the least amount of money?
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, that music video looks great, but it was literally me, Liz, and our DP, Kenny Wu, no one else. And I think Japan just like added the production value.
Right.
But and then we did a lot of special effects, and I have no idea how that happened.
They were like all in post. And
they were all in post. Yeah. I did not actually cry black tears. I know that would have been
gonna ask
so
you
cool.
how.
I know. My favorite part of that was the like the trick of the ink looking like period blood on my legs, because that is like,
that's why I didn't get it for so long.
Oh, I'm so glad, because I think that is like an essential woman experience.
Yeah,
is like bleeding all over yourself and not knowing how to deal with that.
Yeah, yeah,
and totally. Being mortified.
Yeah, yeah. I can't. Chris and I were just talking about this. I cannot wait until we live in a world where you can just like walk into work or wherever and just say to whoever it is, if it's a man or a woman, like, I have terrible fucking cramps. Yeah. Like, I'm having a bad day.
I do that, and it sometimes works, but it's nice. Like, I think that we should be talking freely about
yes,
these things.
Yes, it's ridiculous.
And it might be disarming if we start telling people how we feel, and it also might be really uncomfortable for everybody involved.
Yeah, but that's fine. Great change has to be uncomfortable at first.
Yes. Very true.
Yeah. Indeed.
Are there more music videos coming for the album?
Yeah, I am editing a music video right now for another single. And cool. Then there's another music video, which is also that I did not direct, that will be coming out after that one.
Dope.
Oh, so you have your hands in all aspects of these things.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of have to. And that's what's really exciting, I think, for me about being a musician, too, is that there's a creative control that I lack as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
Not that my performance as an actor can't be creative, but there are so many elements that I'm not in control
You're
of.
Told what to do versus I get to decide.
Yeah.
Well, and all the stuff that happens after you film.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
So the album is coming out this summer.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. And hopefully you'll find some time to play some shows. And
I hope so. I love playing
keep
shows.
Keep a lookout. Do you have a website where stuff will be posted?
Yes, lolakirkmusic.com. But my Instagram, unfortunately, is the place where all information
lives. Place for all
lives.
The dirt.
Yeah, all the dirt, all the sort of naked pictures with emojis over my nipples.
Perfect.
That's
what's your
lives.
Instagram handle?
It's also at Lola Kirk. It's not
beautiful.
At Lola Kirk. It's just Lola Kirk with an at sign. You guys know how to work the internet.
It's not at Lola Kirk.
At
Lola.
No, but that would be really confusing and kind of amazing.
Right? Yeah. If someone really wants to fuck with you, they'll get that one.
Yeah. I'm surprised we haven't seen a band called like at something.
Oh, that's true.
That'll
I bet
happen.
There is, right?
Maybe when it's retro in like 40 years, our kids will be.
What genre artist do you think will do that? Is it like
oh,
a
definitely.
Rapper? Like a
it would be
pop
a rapper,
star?
But like synth pop.
Right. Well, yeah, there's like internet.
Yeah. Like, oh, there is. There's someone named internet.
Yeah, the internet, right?
Is it at internet?
No, it's just the internet.
At internet is really good.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
You're welcome, world. Whoever wants to take that one.
Yeah, yeah
you can
just
have
give
it.
Us 10% of everything you make.
Exactly. All right, awesome. Well, we can't wait for the album and the videos and all the other stuff that you have going on. Thank you, Lola.
Oh, thank you guys so much. This was a really great way to spend my morning.
Oh, good. We feel the same. No one, not monster, just someone who wants to belong.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.